Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. That is me. I am your host. And today we're in Milan, Italy. Very beautiful setting. We've got a really exciting fighter with us to talk to, Gary Spike O'Sullivan. Man, it's wonderful to see you here. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah,
good
you too. I know. It's been a little while. I think last time I saw you was Boston.
Boston, yeah.
Man.
I know.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, man. This COVID has really screwed things up, you know.
It has, hasn't it?
It's good to be getting back now.
Yeah, obviously you live in Cork. You're from Cork.
Yeah.
You've lived there your whole life, yeah?
I haven't been yet.
What was it like during the pandemic over there? What's it like now?
Things are improving slowly but surely, you know. Things are getting back a bit to normal now. But during the pandemic and the thick of it, I suppose, we were restricted to 5 kilometer travel from our house. That was a bit tough, you know, and schools were shut and we spent a lot of time at home to kids, and there was positives to be taken for her too, you know, but it was worrying, I guess.
So we were talking earlier and you were telling me Cork is the biggest county in Ireland.
Yeah.
And you learned a ton about your own county during this time.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I didn't tend to stay within my own city and county when, you know, drove my life, but I traveled around the world, all different places, but I discovered more Cork than I ever did before, and it's truly a truly beautiful place.
What are some of the things you saw?
I went down to West Cork quite a bit, some amazing scenery down there and lots of good things to do, you know, it was fabulous, you know.
And you're like a legend in Cork. I mean, you're one of the most famous fighters from there.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me, you fought so many top-level opponents, but you've never fought for a world title.
I know. It just seems to evade me all the time, you know, and I was a bit misfortunate in recent times as well. Patrick Teixeira, we were both with Golden Boy, we were meant to fight for the world title, but he lost his championship to Brian Castano.
Mm.
Therefore, the title went to top rank, and then we were meant to fight. I was meant to fight Patrick Teixeira anyway, but now he's taking a fight in Russia. So.
Okay.
I've no fight on the horizon as of now.
It can really be so evasive, right, to fight for a world title, and your career has shown that. I mean, with some great wins, Antoine Douglas, the Fitzgerald fight, obviously, and fighting top opponents, guys like BJ Saunders, Chris Eubank Jr., Jaime Munguia. I mean, you fought a lot of top-level guys.
I did, and they were all bigger guys than me as well. Like, you know, I fought them all at middleweight. I could have always made junior middleweight. So
yeah, you're 154. You're more comfortable 154?
I think I'm better at that weight. I'm bigger at that weight, you know. Those guys are more my size, you know, and I often find myself the much lighter man in the ring, you know, at
sure.
middleweight. But against those elite guys, anyway, it makes a difference, you know.
You're used to being on big stages. That's nothing for you. I mean, the Triple G Canelo 2 fight, you fought David Lemieux on that card, right? I remember that fight like yesterday, you know. Obviously, it was unfortunate for you what happened, but tell me about going into that fight, because David Lemieux, like, I saw him, I was there when he fought Triple G, and you know, I'd seen him fight in person before, and I mean, he hits like a horse kick. I mean, he punches through walls, but if you box him, he can have problems. But you went in there and you just toe-to-toed with him.
Yeah.
What was the, did you just think my power can...
No, I can testify to his power, you know, I've sampled that anyway.
But did you think beforehand, like, my power is going to...
I've got good power myself, but the biggest problem was he weighed me by 18 pounds when we stepped in the ring, which was very significant. But I think he would have gassed out, you know, I think I would have won that fight. I think he caught me with a good punch, you know, and obviously knocked me out. But I think I would have won the fight if it progressed. That was what I thought. I thought he was already beginning to... He was huffing and puffing, and I caught him with one or two shots, and I thought I was going to wear him down and, you know, give him a hell of a beating, but unfortunately for me, he caught me with that punch, and that was it, you know.
You had a really long career. I mean, did you start boxing at 9 years old? Someone told me that. I don't know if that's true.
I started when I was about 5 years of age, so
wow.
I've boxed for about 32 years now, I think, going into my 14th year professionally. Been around for a long time, you know, but I feel very good, and, you know, I can continue, I think, for maybe another 6 years and do 20 years, I feel good. I feel very well. Like, you know, I feel good.
What would you like to do in your career? Because you've done a lot of stuff. You've won a lot of titles at you know, kind of regional level, whatever. But what's something that you really want to do?
You know, I always wanted to become world champion, and I guess it could still happen. You know, and I'm not losing the faith of that. The opportunity's never arisen for me, but I'm only one fight away from it if I get the right fight, which could very easily happen, and then, you know, I could fight for the world title and achieve my goal. But as I know, I don't really have anyone in the radar I particularly want to fight.
Yeah, who do you want to fight? Who?
You know, who I would like to fight is a man, you know, he's got a problem with his leg at the moment, so I don't see him taking any kicks. So a guy I'd really like to fight is Conor McGregor. I'd like to get him into the boxing ring again, and I'd like to fight him.
You've heard it here first, fans.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor.
I fancy that fight. There's a big rivalry between Cork and Dublin, where he comes from. You know, I've had a fight with Matchroom, actually a big one with Anthony Fitzgerald on Matchroom and Sky Sports. So I shouldn't have said on the zone, should I?
the last time that we hung out was in Boston, and Conor McGregor was at that show.
That's right, Jefferson.
He was actually at that show. You remember that?
I was chatting with him at the fight, actually.
Have you guys had word? Because you're, first of all, for the fans that don't know, they need to follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Spike_Sullivan, I think, on Instagram, yeah.
Spike is a hoot on Twitter. You got to follow him. I wake up and I see these funny, stories and jokes, and it always brightens my day. But you've also had some spats on there, too.
Ah, yeah, through years, I mean, with various fighters, and, you know, it is what it is.
You don't mind just getting into it in the social media space? You don't mind that?
No, I don't mind it. Don't mind it anywhere, you know?
You'll have a row wherever it is.
Yeah, yeah, if need be.
Yeah. I can attest that you're an absolute gentleman. If things go the other way, you can go the other way too.
I wouldn't go looking for it, you know, but I'm not going to shy away from it later, you know?
You don't start it, but you finish it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so you'd like something with Conor McGregor. What's the beef there? You said there's a beef between Cork and Dublin?
Well, there's a rivalry between Cork and Dublin always in sport and industry, so on all fields, you know, of sport. So I've had two fights against two Dublin men. I beat both of them in one round, you know, and I watched Conor's fight with Mayweather, and I think, you know, Mayweather just carried him through kind of pity-patty like that. I can assure you, if I get in the ring with him, it won't be like that. I'll be going for third consecutive first-round knockout. I'm going to take the head off him.
I mean, the numbers in Ireland would be outstanding, obviously.
Oh, I'm sure. I think it would be around the world. I've got quite a big fan base in America as well myself, and I think it would be a massive fight. As I say, I don't see him taking kicks anytime soon with his leg injuries, and he fancies himself as a boxer, and he had that fight with Mayweather. I think, as I say, Mayweather, he pity-patted the boat and tipped around. I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be in there to hurt him.
You think Mayweather carried him?
Anyway, he took it easy. That's the style. I mean, McGregor or Mayweather tipping around like that. Right now it's Gore, guys. You know, it's not my style. I'll go in there and I'll.
So speaking of Cork and Dublin, you're here this weekend with a Dublin fighter, with O'Brien, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And some of my best friends are from Dublin. You know, Craig O'Brien is one of my best friends, and I'm here to support him. And my trainer Pascal Collins is from Dublin, and I've been training in Dublin for. You know, I'd say I'm going into my 14th year now. I've been based in Dublin through my professional career.
I'm a huge fan of Paddy Collins. Can you tell the people a little bit about him, about your relationship with Paddy?
Yeah, geez, we've been with each other from day one, and, you know, I reckon I'll be with him through my full career. I have no doubt about that. And
His brother was obviously Stevie
Collins, yeah. Beat Ewing Senior twice and Nigel Benn twice, and, you know, probably the greatest Irish fighter of all time, you know. But myself and Pascal, we're very good friends, and, you know, we've had good times together and travel all around the world fighting everywhere, and he's my daughter's godfather, and, you know, we've become really good friends over the years.
He's a great guy.
You
always love seeing him, and seeing you guys here today. You guys came in a little bit late. It was with the weigh-in today. You guys flew in.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it always puts a smile on my face to see you guys.
Yeah.
And when I heard that you were going to be here, I said, we've got to get Spike on. I got to talk to Spike.
Yeah, pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about your Paddy's, your daughter's godfather, but you have four kids, yeah?
I do indeed, yeah.
So tell us about your family and family life.
Well, I've got three girls. My eldest one will be 18 in October. My second eldest girl will be 14. Then my youngest girl is 9. She'll be 10 in November. And my son just turned 5 this week. So
amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
And what's it like being a dad? I'm sure it's changed you a lot.
It has. I was a young father. I was just turned 19, just about that night, turned 19. And, at the time, you're kind of, it's a big change, you know. But it's given me my drive and my inspiration to train harder and fight harder to provide for my children. And, I got asked recently, what was my greatest achievement in boxing, and I believe my greatest achievement in boxing was being able to get the money to buy a house for my my family, you know. So I think that was my my favorite thing about.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to be a father, or do you just love it? Does it get easier as you have more children? You kind of know what you're doing a little bit, or does it get harder? It still stays hard. Tell me about being a father.
I think it's always a really hard job, you know. But you get more experience, of course, and you know, the pandemic, as I said, there was a lot of positives to be taken, and it was actually the best time of my entire life, because I got to spend the most time ever with my kids. You know, I was continuously with them, and we'd done some things that we wouldn't ordinarily do, and you know, I felt particularly my 9-year-old girl, she was missing her friends at school, you know, and she felt she was a bit down, and I asked her one day what she wanted really to do, you know, one thing, and she said she wanted to bake cake, so.
Wanted to be a what?
Bake cake,
you know, yeah.
So we ended up baking cakes most days of the pandemic, and I put on a bunch of weight, and it was great times, so, you know, I really enjoyed it.
You went from junior middle to...
Almost challenging Usyk and AJ.
That's it. Yo, let's talk about that for a second. What do you think of that fight?
Yeah, I predicted that Usyk would win. I thought he's a superior fighter, a superior boxer, you know. AJ, you know, he's a beast. He's just a tank of a man, and he obviously had a chance to knock him out. It was an exciting fight, I found, you know, and it ebbed and flowed. And I thought AJ at times, you know, looked like he might knock him out, I thought. But Usyk, he's something else. He's an amazing fighter, you know.
Usyk or AJ?
Usyk. They're both great fighters, of course. But
they are.
I mean, Usyk, he's something special, you know.
No, he is. He is really special, and I think the mentality that he has what almost takes him over the edge. I mean, he's got so many great attributes as a fighter. Obviously, his footwork, his ring IQ, but his self-belief is really wonderful. It's funny, I do see some similarities with you guys, because he's a very lighthearted, you know, he's about business, you know, when it comes down to it, as are you. Mm-hmm. But he's a really lighthearted guy, as are you, which is great. Yeah. You always enjoy yourself, you know, and I love that. And people enjoy being around you. I enjoy being around you.
Thank you.
You know, and that's a wonderful thing. But when it comes to business, you take it very serious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Most definitely. Usyk, I like him a lot. I'm a big fan, you know, and I'm glad to see him win the world title. But the fight I really wanted to see myself was AJ and Fury. I was thought it would have been the biggest fight maybe in history, and you know, I was pumped and excited for that one. So I was hoping AJ would win, to be honest, you know. But you know, kudos to Usyk, an amazing win. And you know,
how do you think a Tyson Fury Anthony Joshua fight would have gone down, or possibly still could go down?
I always fancy Fury, to be quite honest. I think he's a better boxer, but AJ has the power to take anybody out. I mean, the man's an absolute killer, punch power, and you know, he's the ability to beat anybody. You know, he has the potential to beat anybody. You know, if he lands, they're going to sleep, I think. But if I got to put my house in it, I'd back Fury against anybody, you know.
What what do you think happens in the rematch with AJ and Usyk? Because, like, today AJ posted something. He's watched the fight. He's seen his mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's in a good place. He wants the rematch.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to get to see this again, which... I mean, I can't wait to see, because the first fight, I could have seen it going in so many different directions. And like you said, it kind of almost did at certain times, but then, you know, and nothing will surprise me in the squared circle, because I've just seen so many different things. As you've been in boxing for so many years, you yourself have also seen a lot. How do you see the rematch going down?
Me too. I'm really excited for that fight. It's hard to say, you know. I think I really admire AJ, you know, and, you know, he's an intelligent guy himself, and I'm sure he'll probably come with a better game plan this time. And anything could happen. It's going to be a tough one. You know, I think Usyk has to be the favourite, but I think Anthony will come with more determination this time, definitely, and he'll have more hunger. And I think we're going to see a lot more action out of him. And I think he might go for it earlier, and he could potentially knock him out. I thought at times he might, but he should have kept pressing more consistently than he kind of stepped in, but he wasn't persistent but enough, he didn't keep the pressure on. I think he needs to do that. I think he could win, and I'd like to see him win.
Did your brothers fight at all?
Oh, it is, yeah. We had a couple of national champions in the family in the amateur ranks, and none of them went professional, just myself, and my father boxed, and just strong tradition of boxing in the family, you know.
Okay, so that's where it came from.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you liked other sports.
Oh, jeez, I'm a sports enthusiast. I love bloody practically every sport, really, you know.
Yeah.
Sport, absolutely love sport.
I love sport, too. But what pushed you to boxing? Was it the family tradition, do you think? Or was there something in you? Like, were you a good kid? Were you a friendly kid? Did you get in a lot of scraps outside, or was it just kind of in the family, or you just like boxing?
You know what, I grew up in the Combs estate. There was actually, you can find it online in RTE archives, and it was kind of a trial, because it was the first of its type in Ireland. They built this big, massive kind of community, mm-hmm. and there were all council houses, and so everyone moved in there within a couple of years, and everyone needed a certain amount of kids to get a house, so we used to fight a lot, and we used to live beside a travelling site, and there was a lot of travellers, they liked to fight too, so we used to fucking fight all the time in the street.
Wait, tell me this story. You told me the story, I love this story. You were on the road, and you were staying with a traveller, also known as Gypsy, right? Mm-hmm. And someone came in when you guys were sleeping, they were trying to shave off your eyebrows. Yeah.
That was actually in a...
And the guy held the guy over the balcony from the third floor.
Yeah, that was in a... Birmingham, a guy called Paddy O'Reilly.
Okay.
And some other kid, I think his name was Barnsley, I think he came in and he tried to shave off our eyebrows in the middle of the early hours of the morning, and O'Reilly caught him and hung him out the third story in Birmingham. He was dangling him out. I was like, oh.
You God. Thought you were about to witness manslaughter.
Yeah. I thought, I'm going down for this.
Man. So you grew up, next to a lot of travelers.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So there was a lot of fisticuffs?
Well, it wasn't. Just people in general in the community as well. You know, it was just a lot of fisticuffs in there.
But was it friendly type stuff, or was it real serious? Like, were people trying to kill each other?
I guess it seemed serious at the time, and there was plenty of broken noses, etc. But,
sure.
You know, as people grow up in time, I'm friends with a lot of those guys now, you know. I'm very, very good friends with them, actually. Loads of them, you know, to this day. And, you know, you grow up and, you know, just get out of all that shit and just, you know, become men, and we're all friends now, you know.
Yeah, of course. Well, what was it like, though? Because, I mean, it started boxing at age 5.
Yeah.
You must have known how to carry yourself pretty well.
Yeah, that was it.
So did people want to, because, I mean, where I come from, the tougher you are, the more people want to fight you because they want to prove themselves against you.
Absolutely. At times, it was that element of it. And,
yeah.
You know,
you're a fighter? Let's see how tough you are.
Oh, yeah.
So
plenty of that. Yeah. You know, and I had 3 younger brothers, so I used to have to kind of, you know, help them out. And
of course.
So I used to be fighting, doing a good bit of it, like, a good bit of training.
But you enjoyed it?
I did, looking back, it was fun, yeah.
Well,
it was a bit anxiety-producing as well, I think, I suppose. You know, you're walking around the street, you know, you think you're going to get in the fight.
Of course.
But...
What's your tie with Murphy's? Weren't you with Golden Boy? Who are you with now?
I'm with Golden Boy and Murphy's Boxing.
Oh, you're with both? Okay, great.
Because co-promoted.
Those guys, I mean, I love them both, but Murphy's, you know, they got the hardcore thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, they're just great. They're a great bunch of guys. I've done the fights up in Boston, and a great group of lads. Are you into that type of music? What kind of music did you like?
Do you know, I was never into that type of music until I actually met the lads, and genuinely, I went to their concerts. And
It's so much fun, right?
They rock. They're really good.
Yeah, they're great.
I really enjoyed their concerts. It's been great. I've travelled around with them a lot, and went to, I don't know, probably 20, 30 concerts at this stage. And
yeah. Oh, you must be like, when you show up, everyone's got to love you.
I love them. It's great. It's good. Good. I've got a good, you know, bond with all those guys, and
yeah,
you know, good friends with all the band members, and I know a lot of their fans, and it's great.
Well, there's rumors that we might be back in Boston soon. I've heard some.
Yeah, I heard.
I've heard some rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get in that card, actually.
And maybe you'll be on that card.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see you back in action. I know you're definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah, in Boston, yeah. I've got a good strong following. There's a lot of Irish there. And I'm hearing rumors that Bubu Andrade is going to fight Jason Quigley there. So.
Okay. I've also heard that rumor. Don't know if it's true or not, but mm-hmm. I've heard it.
Maybe they can fight on the undercard of me and McGregor.
There you go. That'd be a really exciting fight, that's for sure.
Yep.
So the rumor has it you do like a little bit of a drink. Is that... obviously, when you're not training.
Yeah.
What's your drink of choice? Is it Guinness?
Guinness.
You like a Guinness?
Yeah. Okay. Or a glass of red wine. I'm quite fond of a glass of red wine as well.
Okay, well, we are in Italy. Have you spent time in Italy before?
I have indeed. I've been in Milan with my partner, Selena, in 2009, and went to Lake Garda. So okay. It's a beautiful place there, really nice.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have a glass of wine later and try one of the cigar, yeah.
I think that'd be really nice. I would like that.
Let's do it.
Going back just a little bit, so you were talking about, you know, growing up and all the kind of rows as a kid or whatever. How was school? Were you a decent student? Did you dream of being a pro fighter, or did you want to do something else for work? What did young Gary O'Sullivan want to do?
I always enjoyed football, like soccer, you know. Mm-hmm. Just as a biggest sports enthusiast, I didn't enjoy school. You know,
I
didn't enjoy school. I wasn't a misbehavior or anything like that. You know, I.
Did you get decent grades?
I actually did decent enough grades, yeah, for the amount of study I put in. I got amazing results, really, because I never studied, really, just the night before the exam, you know.
Sure.
Just didn't like school. I found myself looking out the window a lot. I just kind of wanted to go out and play football.
What were those daydreams? To play football?
Yeah, if I just want to go out and play football or hurling. You know, I love hurling, and hurling's an Irish sport. I think it's the best sport in the world, actually, by the way.
Tell us about hurling.
In my opinion, it's the best sport in the world.
Okay.
You need to watch a game. It's an amazing sport. Where they have a hurley, which is a stick effectively with a boss in the end that's a bit larger than the handle.
Okay.
And we play with a small ball, a small hard ball called a slitter. Uh-huh. And you can score goals or you can score points. You know, the points are just the posts go up into the air a little bit higher, and there's a crossbar. If you pull over the crossbar, you score a point. And a goal is worth 3 points.
Okay.
It's an absolutely amazing sport.
How many men on the pitch?
15 on each team.
Okay.
My son Noah, my daughter, they're playing camogie. It's called camogie in girls, for girls, and it's hurling for the boys. But it's the same sport.
Wonderful.
It's a great, great sport.
There's a lot of great sports around the world. You know, there's a sport here in Italy called Calcio Storico Florentino. It takes place in Florence, and it's basically a bunch of guys on the pitch, and there's a whole lot of fighting that goes on, and then there's a ball at the end. They try to get the ball, and I don't know if you've seen it.
Kind of reminds me of hockey a bit. Sounds like hockey in America.
Yeah, it kind of sometimes is like hockey.
Going back to what I wanted to do when I grew up, anyway, I love football, just love sports. And as a, you know, how I ended up boxing, I thought my father, I felt he wanted me to box more than anything else. So, you know, I wanted to impress my father, being a small boy or young boy.
Of course.
I said, I want to kind of do what my dad wants me to do. So I kind of just guided myself towards boxing more so than the other sports. And that's how I ended up.
What did your pops do for a living?
He was a soldier. In the army for his entire life, for 37 years, I think he served in the army.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive, yeah. He just turned 75 2 days before my son's 5th birthday, so
they're 70.
God bless. Yeah.
He must be real proud of you.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think he is.
And your mom?
My mother, yeah, she's still alive. And, you know, I call into him every, I travel up and down to Dublin every week. I don't live too far from him, but I stop off in their house and have a cup of tea, some coffee. You know, I call them every week without fail.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it, yeah. It's great.
And I mean, again, the people of Cork, you must get so much love. The people love you.
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's actually something I'd never get used to, you know. It's hard to describe. I don't know how to fully
describe
it.
How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel amazing. It's something, you know, you can't buy it.
Yeah.
I actually remember, you know, when I was boxing for years, I absolutely hadn't a penny, you know, and the guys on the state benefit, like, you know, they'd have more money than I had. So I remember my good friend there, Conal Thomas, he sponsored me from 2008 through day one. And, you know, we walking down the street and he said, he's a wealthy guy and he's been very successful in business. And he said to me, he'd swap all that, because we were walking down the main street in Cork, Patrick Street. And, you know, there was, he'd go, oh, spike, like that, you know, every few minutes. And he said, geez, I'd swap all my houses and money and stuff.
To have that kind of love.
Yeah, he said, you can't buy it. And he's right.
Yeah.
You can't buy it.
It's genuine. It's genuine.
Genuine, yeah.
It's genuine. Yeah, I feel like you bring a lot of, you might not have won all these big fights, but you fought the best.
Yeah.
You know, all the losses you have are the former or current world champions.
Yeah.
You know, you got some great wins, the Antoine Douglas, like you said, the Fitzgerald. But you take all comers, you always fight your hardest.
Yeah.
And you swing the bat.
Yeah,
sometimes you miss, and sometimes you connect.
And
I'm a big fan of that, you know. And you know, another thing that everyone loves, like, I'm known for obviously my hair. That's one thing that I'm known for. Obviously, you're known for the mustache.
Yeah.
People would be on me if I didn't ask about that. When did you first start with the mustache? Tell us the story about the mustache.
I'll tell you the exact night. Believe it or not, now most people don't know this. So I used to kind of have a goatee, and the night I got beaten by Eubank, I actually went to my room after the fight. I was disappointed, but I looked in the mirror and I said, I'm going to make a fresh start, and you know, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be better than ever. And I shaved off my goatee and I stopped it about here and I turned it out small and looked like two little pieces of shit going over here, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the night I started it after the Ewing defeat.
And you just, it just grew, and now
it just grew, and
this is the
better. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Eubank, there, it looks like there might be a fight happening with B.J. Saunders possibly and mm-hmm. Eubank Jr. What do you've faced both men, both great fighters. What do you think of this fight? Who do you fancy?
Billy Joe Saunders is a better boxer. I think Eubank started too late in the first fight. You know, I think Billy Joe Saunders will need to be on his A game to beat him this time. It's a tough fight. Eubank, he brings a different style. He's intense, but I think he was at his poorest in his last fight with that guy Morrison. I was disappointed in his performance. He didn't look as, to me anyway, he didn't look as fit as he usually did, and I wasn't very impressed.
Do you think though that, because he's training with Roy Jones Jr. now?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think Roy just wanted him to get some rounds in?
I'm not sure. I don't think that's Eubank's nature. I think he's kind of
a finisher,
an aggressive guy. I think he likes to beat people up and take them out, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, if they're going to gel together, to be honest. Now, Roy Jones is one of the greatest fighters of all time, and I was a big fan of his. And I don't know if his style is going to match up with Eubank. You know, I think his best style is his fitness. He's very, very fit. Eubank,
yeah,
kinda,
for sure.
He can be persistent and aggressive. I think when I fought him anyway, it was very difficult to deal with that, you know, and he's a bit bigger than me, and you know, but it was tough to deal with, and I think that's his best strength.
Who do you think was the strongest puncher that you dealt with?
Oh, Lemieux.
It was.
Without the question. I fought in Quebec in Montreal, back against Antoine Douglas in 2018, and I met a guy who told me that Lemieux was the hardest puncher of them all. He didn't even like Lemieux, he was a Canadian, but he said he'd something to do with him that before that fight, and he knew him quite well, and he said he hit harder than Golovkin or Canelo.
Yeah, I have seen him up close, and that guy can punch holes through walls.
Yeah, you know, I spoke with Billy Joe Saunders before that fight, and he told me, you know, Billy Joe is that good. He tested out his power on the elbows, and he said be careful the first few rounds, but he gasses out and you'll destroy him
sure.
as you go down the stretch. But he said just watch him early on, he's a real power.
But Spike went in there and took him toe-to-toe. Speaking of toe-to-toe, Craig O'Brien, Samuel Noma, that's the fight you're here for. You're supporting the Iron O'Brien this weekend. Samuel Noma, he's a funny fighter, man. I think I see correlation between both of these fighters. Neither of them have a lot of knockouts. Both of them are complete gym rats and supposedly look stellar in the gym, but maybe not as stellar in the ring, whether it's the bright lights, whether it's who knows what it is. Mm-hmm. But I fancy this fight. I like this fight. I really hope that Craig brings a forward style and we see a really good scrap on Friday. Do you think this might happen?
I think he will. I can testify that. Craig O'Brien is, you know, superb in the gym, and he hasn't quite shown that when he goes under the lights yet, and he's got amazing ability, and, you know, I hope he does it just tomorrow night. I think he can go out there and show he's a really, really good fighter. I think, you know, he could have beaten the guys he lost to, Conway and Prowler. I think, you know, he had the potential to beat those guys. It just wasn't to be on those nights under the lights, but he's got great ability, and I hope he shows it.
You were telling me a little bit about his backstory. You said it's kind of an amazing backstory. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
He is. I think he's a hero and an inspiration to the people of Dublin inner city, like Kelly Harrington, the recent gold medalist. I think they're two, they live close by, and they're two just heroes, is a word overstated, but that's what they are, in my opinion anyway. You know, Craig's at a rocky road. He was in prison once or twice, you know, and he's turned his life right around. You know, he's gone on to his study. He's done his diploma in sociology, and I can't remember the word it was, but he's going for a degree anyway in UCD. And I think he's an inspiration to all the people in his community, and just a great all-round guy. I've walked around Dublin City Centre with him, and he's extremely popular, and he does so many things behind the scenes. You know, he's just an absolute, you know, ace guy. You know, helps out elderly people in his community and doesn't promote or talk about it or any of that, but I've seen it firsthand. The guy is just, you know, the best.
When are we going to see boxing back in Ireland?
Who knows? I have no idea. You know, it's a shame, but that's where we're at, unfortunately.
I hope soon.
Yeah, me too.
I really hope
so. I'd like
so.
To fight there again.
I love Ireland. It's an amazing country, and the people are so lovely. And every time I'm there, it's just, there's so much love, so much great times, great people. And yeah, I hope we're back there.
Actually, that time I fought Anthony Fisher on the Matchroom show in the Tree Arena, it was an amazing occasion, amazing atmosphere. You know, I actually bumped into Anthony this week. We had an unbelievable rivalry. I think it was kind of, at the time, and maybe still it was the most talked about fight between two Irishmen that ever happened in the country, I think. You know, but I bumped into him, we're going meeting soon for coffee.
Speaking of that fight, because I want to let you go in a second, but speaking of that fight, you were so confident you actually bet on that fight, didn't you, yourself?
I did, yeah.
Tell us about that. What, where was that? Was it just Dublin, Cork, or you guys didn't like each other?
No, we really didn't like each other at the time, you know, but I think we settled in the ring, and, you know, as I say, I bumped into him this week, and, you know, we shared a hug, and we're going to have a coffee. We were going to have it actually Wednesday, but I didn't get around to it. I arrived in Dublin too late, and but next week, hopefully, we get around to it. But that fight, you know, I knew I could punch. I'd spar with him quite a few times. He's a tough guy, you know, very, very tough. He'd been the distance with Andy Lee and Hassan Al-Dam as well, you know, who was a former world champion, and he actually beat Andy Lee in the Olympics. He was a good fighter too.
I mean, that was probably your biggest win at the time, right?
It would have been, yeah. It was 50-1, actually, the odds for me to knock him out in the first round, because he's a very, very, very tough guy. But I know I can punch very hard, actually. And I just seen it was 50-1. I put 100 quid in the first round knockout, and I went out there and I went all in, you know.
And respect.
Knockout of the year, 2014.
Yeah, I remember it. Amazing, yeah. Amazing stuff. Well, you guys are going to have a coffee together, but you and I are going to have a cigar together. So we're going to go off camera.
Yeah.
And I wish you and your team this week the best of luck, and I really hope we get to see you very soon. Spike O'Sullivan, thank you for joining us. Until next time, everybody, thanks for tuning in. David DeMonte with Matchroom Radio.
Let's get Lam McGregor.